You got it.
Blog Talk
this
Radio.
Is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. God is so good. I tell you, he's a wonderful God. How you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed, Apostle. How you doing, Pastor?
Doing wonderful. God is still on the throne, and he's a good God. I like to say hello amen, he's a good God. I like to say hello to all those who are listening all around the world. I tell you, Apostle, you're doing a great work, and I tell you, those people are listening, and they're being helped, and they're being encouraged, and some are being saved, and it's wonderful what you're doing, Apostle. And I tell you, I know people are listening, and God said his word will go forth and not come back void. It will accomplish exactly what he sends it to accomplish. And so I'm so grateful to be a part of this great ministry, this great radio broadcast. And I really thank you for this opportunity, Apostle. I praise God, and I don't take it lightly. And I'd like to say hello again to everyone who's listening.
Amen. Thank you for everything. God bless you, my brother.
God bless you, Apostle. Well, I guess I could go ahead and get into the word, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 9. Those who are listening and those who have your Bibles, I pray that you're going along with me in the word of God. Acts chapter 9. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9. Verses 1 through 6. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, any of God's way, any of Jesus's way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul is getting letters to go into Damascus and to go into the synagogues and to drag the Christians, those of the way, those of Jesus's way, out of the synagogues and bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem. Saul was out to destroy the Christians, those of the way. That's what found any of this way, of the way, of Jesus' way, Christianity. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Oh, it's good to know that when injustice is hitting God's people, it's good to know that he'll show up sooner or later. He'll show up. The Christians are being attacked right here. And the one who's doing the attacking, Saul, Jesus, Yeshua, shows up on that road to Damascus. The scripture says, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. So you know what? God's not just going to set back and look at his children being done wrong all the time for a long time, not forever. He's not going to just sit back and not do anything. He will show up.
Yes, he will.
Verse 4, the scripture says, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him. Now, Saul is on the road to Damascus, and Jesus has shown up on the road. In a great light, as a great light. And Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, Saul was persecuting the church. He was persecuting those of Jesus' way, of the way. But he took it personal here. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But those of the way were getting drugged out the synagogue, and they were being bound. But Jesus took it personal. He said, yeah. Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Me. Why?
So God, when the saints are being persecuted, God takes it personal. What you're doing to the church, you're doing it unto him.
Yeah.
And verse 5, Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. So whoever persecutes those of the way, whoever persecutes the saints, the Christians, Jesus takes it personal, and he says, you're doing it unto me. Scripture goes on to say, Jesus said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. There were those traveling with Saul, and they stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. That had to be an awesome event. They heard Jesus' voice, but they saw no man. But Jesus did show up because there was injustice being done toward those of the way,
Amen.
The Christians, the saints. Verse 8 says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. He was blinded by the light. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Now, I'll stop right there. Go back up to verse 6, and let's look at verse 6. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When you have an encounter with the Master, when you have an encounter with Yeshua, HaMashiach, when you have an encounter with Jesus, one of the questions that should be on our heart is, what will you have me to do? That's what Saul wanted to do. What will you have me to do? Saul thought he was doing right, but he was doing wrong. He was kicking against the prick. He was going against everything that God believed. He thought he was doing good. He thought he was doing a work of God.
Yeah.
But he found out that he was persecuting Jesus, that he wasn't doing a work of God. He found out that by persecuting those of the way, the Christians, he was persecuting Jesus. So he said, he was saying, so to speak, well, Jesus, you're not pleased with what I'm doing. In verse 6, so what he was asking, well, what will you have me to do? He was asking Jesus the will of God. What is the will of God for my life? And that's one question that we should ask God. We should try to find out is what is the will of God for my life? And so the message God gave me is how to know the will of God.
How to know the will of God.
Saul wanted to know the will of God. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do, since he was doing something that wasn't right. He wanted to know the will of God. You and I should want to know, for sure, the will of God, because we don't want to find ourselves fighting against God. We don't want to find ourselves persecuting those of the way. We don't want to find ourselves kicking against the prick, because it's hard to kick against the prick. It's hard to go against God's way. So we should want to know, how can we know the will of God? And that's the message. How to know the will of God. Number one, we can find out the will of God for our life, what God wants us to do. We can find out the will of God for our life through scripture direction. Don't you know that God speaks through the scripture?
Yes, he does.
The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Inspiration.
That means that it's God-breathed. It's God-breathed. God talks to us through the word. He gives us direction through the scripture.
Yes.
So those of us who want to know the will of God for our life, we can find the will of God for our life through scripture. The scripture. Look at Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, the word of God, scripture can give you direction. Scripture can give you the will of God for your life. Isn't that wonderful? God says right here in the word, he says the word is what? A lamp. The Hebrew word is near.
Near.
Near is the, you know, like drawing near to God. Near. The Hebrew word for lamp is near. That's an easy Hebrew word, isn't it? And it means that the word lights our way. The word lights our way. The word will show you the will of God for your life. It will light your way. Near, lamp. The Hebrew word is near. It goes on to say, not only is the word a lamp, near, it lights our way, but it's also a light unto my path. It's a light unto my path. That Hebrew word light is or. Or is the Hebrew word for light. And what that word means, it means illumination. Illumination. The word illuminates to us the will of God for our life. It means to make bright. It means to make clear. To make bright. To make clear. So the word is like a light. It will illuminate, give illumination. It will make bright. It will make clear God's will for our life. Here, Saul is on the road to Damascus, and the word shows up on the road to Damascus. You know, Jesus, Yeshua, he is also the word. He's the word.
He
so Jesus is a lamp and a light. He is. Jesus is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus is, and Jesus is the word. He's the word. So the word will give us the will of God for our life. We're talking about how to know the will of God, how to know what God wants us to do in life. Well, we can find out, number one, through scripture direction. Number two, by divine revelation. By divine revelation. He will reveal to us the will of God for our life. By divine revelation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We can know, learn the will of God for our life. How? By divine revelation. We're going to find out what this divine revelation is. Look at 1 Corinthians. I sense in my heart, and I know God, he does not shoot blanks. I know that there's someone listening tonight. They want to know the will of God for their life. And that's a good thing, Apostle, to want to know. That's a good thing to want to know. We want to be doing what God wants us to do in life. Because that's where our fulfillment comes. It's the safest place to be. The safest place to be, Apostle, is in the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
That's the safest place to be. As long as
that's
God has something for you. That's right. It's the safest place to be. As long as God has something for you to do and you're doing it, don't you know that people can't even kill you? You won't even be discouraged to the point to quit. Because you will find fulfillment in the will of God. the apostles, some of the apostles were stoned, and some stoned, and I'll tell you, they got right back up, and they started carrying out the work of the ministry. Why? Because they knew that they were in the will of God. The apostle Paul, he desired to go on and be with the Lord. He desired to go on and be in heaven. But he said, for your sake, I'm going to hang around. Why? Because he knew that God wasn't through with him yet. He was in the will of God. These men of God were thrown into prison, and they sung songs and praised God in prison. Why? Because they had fulfillment, because they were smack in the middle of the will of God. When you're in the will of God, man can't even kill you. Man can't kill you because why? God has something for you to do. You're in the will of God. The will of God is the safest place to be. I've been in car wrecks. I went to a world conference one time to San Diego, California, on a mission from God. And on the way back from San Diego, California, the driver of the van fell asleep behind the wheel, and the van just rolled over a few times. We were all carried to the hospital, but none of us killed. None of us seriously injured. Why? Because the safest place to be is in the will of God.
Yes, indeed.
God will show you his will for your life by divine revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 9 and 6. The scripture says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10 says, but God. But who?
But God.
But God. What has God done? But God has what? Revealed. There it is right there. Divine revelation. Mm-hmm. But God has what? Revealed them unto us by his Spirit. God reveals to a person the things that God has prepared for them. How does he do that? He reveals it to them, to a person, by his Spirit. That's divine revelation. For the Spirit of God searches what? All things. How many things? All things. Yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God will give you what? Divine revelation. Divine revelation of what? The things that God has prepared for all of us who love him. The scripture goes on to say, for the Spirit searches what? All things. So in all things, you would have to include the will of God. It's all things. The Holy Spirit searches what? All things. And the Holy Spirit can reveal to you what? All things, even the deep things of God. Well, all things would have to include, isn't this right, Apostle? It would have to include the will of God for our life. It would have to include, it would have to be in that all things. So by divine revelation, God will reveal to us the will of God for our life. Now, the scripture, let me read it again. But God had what? Revealed them unto us. What revealed what? What has he revealed? The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Well, has God prepared something for us to do for him? Sure he has. Sure he has. God has dealt to every man at least one gift. God has created us for his glory. He's created something for each and every one of us to do. Well, how can we find out? How can we find out what he wants us to do? By divine revelation. God will reveal to us the will of God. Now, what does that word reveal, hath revealed? In Greek, hath revealed, it means to take off the covers. To take off the covers. Take off the covers. He will reveal to us what he wants us to do. He will what? Take off the cover. That word hath revealed, it means to present to the mind directly. To present to the mind directly. God will tell your mind directly what he wants you to do in life. That's what that word hath revealed. We're talking about divine revelation. God will reveal to you what he wants you to do in life. He will represent it to your mind directly himself. Isn't that awesome? It means to uncover. Uncover. It means to unveil. He'll unveil. It means to reveal, to unveil. He'll unveil to you the will of God for your life. You know how they present a new car, a new automobile to the world, Apostle? Sometimes they will have the car up under a veil. Isn't that right? And then when they get ready to present this new automobile to the world, what do? They take the veil off of the car and reveal it to the world. Well, God says that he will unveil the will of God for your life. He'll unveil it. He'll take the veil off. He'll uncover the will of God for your life. You know, Satan tries to blind us to the will of God. Anything concerning God, Satan, he tries to what? Blind us to it. Well, God will take the cover off. He'll take the cover off and by divine revelation reveal to us the will of God. So how can we know the will of God? Number one, by scripture direction. Number two, by what? Divine revelation.
Yeah.
Divine revelation. Number three, God will allow you to know the will of God by what? Providing for you. When you're in the will of God, God will what? Provide for you. When you're on God's payroll, when you're working for God, God will what? Provide for you. You'll know that you're in the will of God because God will give you what? What you need. He'll provide for you. He'll provide for you. He'll provide for your family. He'll provide for you what everything that you need.
Yes, he will.
That will be a telltale sign that you're in the will of God when God provides for you what you need. I remember when I felt called by God to pastor a church. Well, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. And I really didn't know if that's what God really wanted me to do. So I said, God, if you really want me to be a pastor, then show me. Show me. That's what I said, show me that you want me to be. Give me a sign and show me that you want me to be a pastor. Well, I met this Christian brother. He was a German businessman. I had called around on the phone. God told me to. He said, call around on the phone for some food to take to the streets. Well, I called this business. This business was a wedding cake business and a very prosperous one in Houston. I called him, not knowing him. I just did what God told me to do. And I called him, and he said, sure, I'll give you some food to take to the streets. So I was going to the streets downtown in different places ministering the word of God in the beginning of the ministry. And so he would give me free food, this businessman. After a while, I shared with him the vision. I said, well, God has called me the pastor, but I don't have a church building. And I asked him, I said, will you help me? Will you help me get a church? He said, well, let me pray about it. He called me a few days later, and he said, Pastor Newsom, I prayed about it. We're going to help you get a church. I had just met him. Didn't know him like that. He got some of his business partners all together. They started a bank account for me, put the money in the bank account, and that's how we purchased our first church building. It's paid for, debt-free. God answered my prayer. He showed me that he wanted me to be a pastor. You see, God will provide. Where God guides, have you heard that saying? Where God guides, he will what? Provide.
Right.
Through provision, he will provide. When you're in the will of God, he will provide. And the message is how to know the will of God for your life. How will you know the will of God? God will provide in that area. He will provide the things, the money, the finances, the people, the courage to stand. He will provide all that you need when you're called to do something by him. How will you know the will of God for your life? God will provide. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17, and this will be my last scripture. 1 Kings chapter 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. And Elijah the Tishbite, this is the prophet of who? God. He's in the will of God. He's in the will of God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Now, what's going on? There's a lack of water in the land. But God is telling his servant, who's in the will of God, Elijah the Tishbite, he's telling him where to go. Why? So he can have water, so he can be provided for. Why? Because he's the prophet of God. He's in the will of God. Remember I told you, you'll know that you're in the will of God because God will what? Provide for you. He told Elijah, he said, Elijah, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. God's providing water for him. And he said, I have commanded what? The ravens. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So here God is taking care of his provision, what he needs, giving him water supernaturally and having ravens to bring him food. Ravens bringing him food. Look at verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Look at that. Here, God is providing for Elijah because Elijah is what? In the will of God. Don't you know ravens are scavengers?
Yeah.
They consume all that they have. Those are scavengers. But God commanded them to take food to Elijah and take care of him. Other than that, they would eat it because they consume all that they gather. Because they're scavengers. But God commanded the raven to feed Elijah. God will provide to you through people who are scavengers, and they consume everything themselves, who are selfish. God is so cold-blooded, he can turn the hearts of those that don't even like you to provide for you. God is so awesome that he can have people provide for you, and they don't even know that they're providing for you. He'll make sure that it gets to you. God will provide. That's how you will know that you're in the will of God. I'm talking about how to know the will of God. Number one, through scripture direction. Number two, through divine revelation. And number three, God will provide. He'll provide for you. He'll make a way for you. He'll make even your enemy give to you. He'll provide for you when you're doing the will of God. That's how you can know the will of God for your life. I have more, but I'm out of time. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Continue on with it next time, brother. It's been a blessing for me to sit here taking a note, and God will provide. God, you sure?
He will provide.
He will provide.
He will provide.
Ain't no maybe. I'm think he can. No, he said, I will.
He will.
I will. He will provide.
Yes. If he have to have a scavenger to bring it to you, he'll have a scavenger to bring it to you.
Amen. I like the way you said about that bird. I mean, he's a scavenger, you know.
He's a scavenger.
And he eat all the dead food. But go ahead and bring
it. Eat all that he consumes.
Oh, my God. That's the kind of God we serve in this hour. But you know, God is so good, and we got the Pastor Irvin. Are you there with us tonight, sir?
Why, most certainly. How are you fellas doing tonight?
Well, we're
doing good.
Okay.
How are you?
Well, good. Yeah, good. Well, I can testify to that, brother, what you're talking about. God will provide. I can tell you story after story, everything that I've done, walking with the Lord and doing the things that I've been doing through the ministry, that God has provided for me for meals. He's provided me for shelter. He's provided me transportation. He's provided me for food. He's provided me for everything that I needed for whatever it is he called me to do. That I do know, and I can testify to that. Praise God.
Amen.
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 You know, I travel all over the world. In fact, I'm getting right now starting to get ready. Hopefully, in the next few weeks, I'll be going to Mexico. I'll go down there and preach down there for 3 days. So and I know God's going to provide. He's going to make a way for me to be able to get my plane ticket. He's going to provide everything I need to go, as long as I'm doing the work of the Lord and being in His will. And the secret is being in His will. You know,
yes.
I was ministering to a friend of mine tonight. He's been having some difficulties with his business and so on and so forth. I'm not going to go into a lot of details. But after talking with him, he says, you know, he says, I do know what my problem is. And I said, what's that? And he says, because I'm not doing what God has called me to do.
God.
He says, my business is failing. The things are falling apart. And he says, I'm afraid to let go because of what I'm doing. And he says, I'm afraid to let go. And he's fairly new in Christ. He had a road to Damascus experience, and a lot of people who I know that have become men and women of God, that they've had an experience with the Lord that they can testify to the fact. Even myself, you know, we can testify to the fact that God is real, and
He's
it's
real.
a matter of letting go. And being transformed into what God wants us to be, you know, we're so reluctant in a lot of respect, because we're so used to the flesh and we're used to the world and we're used to the things of the world and the way to go in the world and we're afraid to let go of that, and because when we let go of that, then what are we standing on? We're standing on thin air. We're standing on, well, yeah, just like Peter was standing on the water, just like Jesus stood on the water. He was standing on faith. He was believing, and he was trusting in what he knew, the transformation from a natural to the supernatural. And if we're walking in with the Lord, we're walking in the supernatural, in all things, in the supernatural. Is provided by the Lord. Everything that's in the natural is in the natural. I'm not saying it's all devil, but there's a lot of things that by not letting go of the world that we live in, that we know of, that we were born in and we were raised in, and not letting go of it and turning, just like Jesus says, If the man who puts his hands to the plow and turns back, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And basically, what he's saying is, you know, you're either going to trust me, we're going to plow this field, and we're going to till the ground, and we're going to plant new seeds, and we're going to take a new harvest. And if you take your hands off that plow and turn back, well, then you lose sight of what it is that God has for us that we're going to do and what we need to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of that pertains to the fact that we're afraid to let go of the natural. We're afraid to let go of the things that we know. You know, and it happens with a lot of ministers, and it happens with those who are just coming new into the Lord. Because it's that unknowing, and that's where God wants us to have faith and trust and believe in Him, and that He's going to see us through, And it's like you said, you know, the ravens brought food. They were scavengers. You know, God, that's the leaving the wealth of the wicked for the righteous. Think
Amen.
About it. You think about it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we set that apart when we sit there and we stop thinking about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we stop thinking about how am I going to do it? What am I going to do tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how am I going to make this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Instead of sitting there saying, Lord, okay, it's a new day. Okay, whatever you say, let's go. And just start walking. You know, walking by faith. God has given me three cars. He's given me, when I first got into the ministry, I think I lived on a little over $3,000 for the first year.
Uh-huh.
And I traveled. Check this out. I traveled almost 86,000 miles. Now you figure it out, because I can't.
God forbid.
I traveled almost 86,000 miles. I lived on $3,000, a little over $3,000. I always had a place to stay. I always had food in my belly. And I was always everything that I needed. For wherever it was that I was going, when I got there, everything was provided. Everything was prepared. Is that Jesus sat there and told the disciples to go into town and get those donkeys that the man has never rode. He know that it was all provided. Everything was set for him. He already knew it. He just turned his eyes and said, "Go get them, and bring them to me. Tell them I need them." We can do the same thing. If we're standing in Christ and Christ is in me and I'm in Christ, we can do the same thing. That's the faith. That's the heaven with the faith of the Lord. That's the heaven, the faith of the Holy Spirit. That's knowing that no matter what you're doing in Christ, God has made a way.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it might be your car is tied up to a gas pump somewhere. You know, all you need to do, and I'm not saying go steal one. I'm just saying it's probably tied up to a gas pump somewhere. In other words, he's got all the gas for you to get you where you want to go, and he's provided transportation for you to get there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, I mean, I can testify and testify and testify over and over. I mean, every place I've gone, I've never had to buy a plane ticket. Went to the Philippines. Guy called me up. They asked me if I was going to the Philippines after the typhoon that hit the Philippines and killed 10,000 people. And I said, yeah. I said, I'm trying to get a flight out with the UN. I'm contacted the UN to see if I can get out with the UN. He says, forget it. Don't worry about it. I said, I got your plane ticket. I want to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Haiti, it was the same thing. They asked me if I was going to go to Haiti. I said, yes, if God gives me a plane ticket. I said, I'll be in Haiti this weekend. And sure enough, before I got done, almost got them words out of my mouth, somebody called and says, hey, I got you a plane ticket. You going to Haiti?
Malcolm.
Trust me. God provides when you're doing the work of the Lord, when you're in his will, and you're doing what he wants you to do. You know, I was doing a job in North Carolina. I was building a place for a fella. It is an old farmhouse, converting it into a rehab
mm-hmm.
for guys that they go be able to go and stay. And the guy kept promising me, he says, I'll take care of you, I'll take care of you, don't worry about it, I'll take care of you, I'll take care of you. Well, I went through my $1,000 that I had saved, that I had in my pocket. And I was getting a little discouraged because the guy hadn't done anything. I've had to buy my own groceries. I've had to buy everything else. And I'm working every day, and I'm putting gas in my car to go pick up the help and bring him in and driving him back 21 miles one way just to pick him up, 21 miles to take him home. And I'm going, okay, when's this guy supposed to be being able to sit there and take care of all this for me? And finally, I got so mad, I got upset because nothing was coming in, and I ran out, went through all my money building this place for this guy. I finally said, you know what? I called a friend of mine. He was an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there, and I said, hey, I said, you need any help? I said, I need to get some work. And he says, yeah. I said, come on up to Greensboro. So I got in my car, and I drove up to Greensboro, and I worked, and I made about $1,000. And they shut the job down. They were building a CBS, and they shut the job down. Yeah. And I sat there, and I went, well, what the heck? So I sat around a couple of days, and I said, well, got to lay down my heart. I needed to go back and finish up that house that I was building. So I went back, and I got back into Wilmington, and I went back out to the place, and I started working again out there. I said, I was only gone maybe a week or so. And I got back out there, and David called me up and said, hey, he says, everybody's back to work. You want to come on back out? And I said, no, I said, I'm going to stay here and finish up this job I got to do. If I would have been back, they would have shut the job down again because I had stepped out of the will of God. God wanted me to build that rehab for this man.
My God.
For whatever reason, I don't know. But whatever the reason was that I stayed and I finished and I built this thing for this man. Now, it's not anything that's glory to me, but it was that God was showing me, well, look, I gave you $1,000 back. You complained and you cried and you moaned and you hee-hawed and you did this and you did that, so you let you get your $1,000 back. Unbeknownst to me, the man had a house for me that I could have.
My God.
Glory to God.
So, you see, we don't know, we don't understand sometimes why we are doing the things that we're doing. We don't know and we don't understand why we're going through all this trials and all this tribulation and why we're doing and why, how come I'm spending all my money and how come this and that and I'm not seeing any gratification. Gratification, God says, if you sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh. You sow to the spirit, you reap of the spirit. So, telling you, it's like you said, Apostle, you know, God will provide, and he will make a way for each and every one of us. Amen. It makes no difference in what we do. If we're doing the will of God, if we sit and we start looking at ourselves, and I was talking to this friend tonight, like I said earlier, I almost missed the radio show because I went, oh, wait a minute, I got this radio show I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, talking to him, I was pointing these things out because he has a business that works with the oil companies. And, of course, we all know that the revenue in the oil companies is down. A lot of the work has slowed down or stopped. And he had, at one point, 35 guys working for him. Now he's down to 3. So, and God called him to ministry. And he has 2 other businesses, and they're all basically related, one related to the other. And he's worried about the fact that all these businesses have slowed down so much. He says, you know, he says, listen, when I go in there, he says, I haven't drawn a paycheck from this company in 8 months. He says, you know, the other day, he says, there was some money in the account, and I said, I went to sit there and get some of the money. And he says, all of a sudden, I lost an account just like that. He said, I take my hands off the money, and I take my hands off the account, and I take my hands off of the business and let the people run the businesses, and the business starts to prosper. And I said, because God has called you into another order.
My God.
I said, if you will allow that company to run, and those who you have it put in place, they're competent enough to run your company, he does not want you to spend your hours in that company. He wants you to spend your time with him. He wants you because you had a road to Damascus experience. It says that you know, that you know, that you know who God is. Because you know what God has done for you. He knows that you know that he took you from the drugs and the alcohol. You know he took you away from all the other stuff that you were doing. You know that you were delivered. And it says, and you know that your family, you have three daughters and another one on the way. You know that in the 9 months or 8 months that you have not had a paycheck, God has provided to take care of your bills. He says, yeah, that's right, he has. And he says, and then when you go into the work and you sit there and you get back into the flesh and you get back into the things of the world, it says, then it all starts to fall apart. I said, because God wants you to be separated because he wants you into the ministry. He wants you undivided attention on him and what he has for you and not for what you built. Not to say that we're going to be lax and stupid and stuff like we have a business and say, okay, I'm just putting it in your hands and I'm going to sit in a rocking chair. That's not what I'm talking about at all. We need to be good stewards of what we do have. And in being a good steward, he hired the people to run his business. But when he steps in to do his business, get back into the business, then he loses because God doesn't want him in doing the business. He wants him to do God's business. And there, by doing that, God has continued to provide for him. And we had a long talk tonight. And we had a long discussion on this. And I showed him in verses and chapters. And I told him from experience, even myself, you know, sometimes our testimony is a greater experience than sitting there trying to read chapter and verse in the Bible. And, you know, we don't have to prove who Jesus is. Jesus proves himself.
Amen.
All we have to do is be a vessel, and they will see Christ in us. And they wonder, how did they do
Amen.
That? How did they get that? How did that happen? What made that go like that? And all it is that we recognize the fact that it is God, it is Jesus himself who's made
Amen.
A way, who's provided
Amen.
For each and every one of us. Like you yes. said, you were wondering how you were going to build a church and how you were going to do this and how you were going to do that, and you didn't have the money in your pocket, and you spoke to somebody, and they said, let me pray about it. Next thing you know, you had the money for the church.
Yes, sir. Just like that.
Just like that. And it's the same way with me when I go on these missions and I do these other outreaches and I do the other things. It makes no difference. All I got to do is just say, hey, I'm doing this, and somebody says, hey, I want to help. We don't have to sit out there with a tin cup and rattle a couple of coins in the cup begging for money, because God says we don't have to beg.
No, sir.
We don't have to beg.
No, sir.
We are children of God, and he said that my children will not be beggars. We don't have to beg.
Don't
like
have
you
to.
Said, no. Like you said, you send the ravens with the bread. He will send you those who have it to give
yes.
to you for you to do the will of God.
Yes,
and that
sir.
Is being able to walk in that spirit, walk in that trust, and believe and trust in the Lord. And we have to quit looking at ourselves. We have to quit looking at our situation. And we have to sit there and put our trust and our faith in the Lord. We have to be like Abraham. You would it be like if you're sitting there with your only child, a child that God had promised you, that you're standing there with a knife in your hand, you got him all bound up on top of an altar, and you're going, okay, Lord, I don't understand this, but is this for real? God made a way for him. He put a goat in the bush.
Yes, sir. He provided.
He made
yes.
a way. Even
he
though how
way.
Difficult, no matter how difficult your situation seems to be right now, if you will right now, whoever is listening is going through some kind of a difficulty in your life, whatever difficulty it is you're going into right now, All you need to do is just lay it before the Lord. Say, I'm yours.
I'm yours.
This business is yours. My life is yours. My family is yours. My house is yours. Everything I have is yours, Lord. And I know that I know that I know he will make a way for you.
Yes, Lord.
He will make a way out. And if you're sitting there, and I don't know who you are, but if you're right now that you're wondering how you're going to sit there and do whatever it is that God has laid on your heart, and you're trying to figure out how to scrape two nickels and a dime together in order to make it work, or how you're going to get the tent, or how it is that you're going to feed the multitude, you don't ain't got to worry about it. Because somebody out there has got five loaves of bread and two fish, and you're going to feed the multitude. You're not going to know how it happened. You're not going to know how it came about. All you know is God's provided, and all you have to know is that you know that you know.
Know that you know.
It makes no difference. Just know that you know. Praise God. That's the Lord that we serve.
Hallelujah.
That's the mighty God that we serve, who made
Amen.
A promise to us that he will provide for us, he will cover us, he will take care of us, he will see us through our difficult times. All we have to do is lay it into his arms and trust
yes.
in him.
Trust in him, that's it.
Trust in him. So we just trust in him and believe him, and he will do what he says he will do. Praise God. You know, there's so many times, I can go, I don't know for how many different testimonies of what God has done in my life and the experiences I've had with the Lord and the difficulty times and so on and so forth. You know, and I've seen ministers that are under undue stress because they're sitting there and they've taken their ministry and they sit there and got ahead of the plow instead of holding on to the plow.
My God.
There are so many out there right now who are pulling the plow, and we don't have to. All we need to do is hold on to it.
Hold on.
Hold on to the plow. We don't need to pull it. Supernaturally, the Lord will pull that plow for us. All we got to do is plant and receive the harvest. And a lot of times, you know, we don't even see what we planted, but we get to harvest what somebody else planted before us. You know, we got these migrant workers that come and they go out into the fields and they have one group that comes in the springtime and plants all the carrots or all the corn or all the wheat or whatever it is. And then after the season's over, that they leave, and another group comes in who didn't plant the seeds, go in and they reap the harvest out of the fields. They get the corn, and they get the wheat, and they get the grain, they get whatever it is that was planted, who went before us and planted it. Don't you think that God hasn't already planted your seeds? Don't you think God has already gone before you and planted and made a way? He says, I'll make a way. That he has planted those seeds in your life. He's already done it for you. And all you have to do is walk and follow and believe.
And believe and trust him.
Praise God. And you will reap the harvest. And it's something that you didn't plant. But the thing is, as you reap, you sow. So many people got it backwards. They want to sow, then reap. No, you reap, then sow. Because without the seed, you have nothing to sow.
Say it, brother. Say it.
So many people have it backwards. So many people have it backwards. They want to sow, then reap. But God is already sown into your life. All we have to do is reap the benefits as long as we sit there and we replant, go behind us and we keep throwing the seeds over our shoulders and keep on walking for those that are coming behind us to reap what we sow.
Yes.
See, without that seed, we can't sow. And how did we get that seed? Because somebody who planted before us. And we glean from that.
Yeah. I can.
You know,
yes, I can.
Amen. You know, I think I told a story here on the radio show one time about God healing the leopard, the 10 leopards, and the one who came back and was made, and thank God, and God made him whole. He got all his fingers, his nose, his ears, everything back. The rest who were healed just went off on their own. They went off, they were healed. They were healed from leprosy, but they didn't have their fingers, maybe didn't have their nose, their ear. The skin that was eaten away, the holes in them, it was all probably there. They just didn't have the disease. But the one who returned, who thanked God, God says, "Be made whole."
Be made whole.
But he sat there and he told that man to go into town and speak to no one, but go before the priest and show yourself approved. Then give the gift that Moses commanded.
God is praise God. You got it. Amen.
What he was telling that man was that you go into town and you sit there and you let the priest see that you are made whole. And out of the abundance of your heart, because my mercy comes first. My seed that I planted first in you comes first. And that he didn't have to buy.
My God.
He didn't have to buy his healing. His healing was given. His mercy was given. All he had to do was sow his what he had benefited from healing, the gift that God that Moses commanded. And we can go back in the scripture, and we can see in Leviticus where if you needed atonement, you killed a lamb or a goat or whatever it was. You needed this, you needed that. They were buying their healings. They were buying their atonements. They were paying for their sins.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus came along. He reversed it. He says, "We don't have to do that no more." He says, "My mercy comes first. Give out of the abundance of your heart for what you received."
My God.
You know. So, like I said, you know, I can tell you story after story of things that God has done in my life, as anyone else has. But if you had that road to Damascus experience, and I'm talking to someone out there right now that are afraid to step out because God has called them out, because like I said, you haven't got the two nickels to rub together, you haven't got whatever it takes, but quit looking at the flesh, and you start looking at the spirit, and you start walking in the spirit. You turn yourself around, you let go of this world, you let go of the natural things of this world, and you grab a hold of that with the supernatural, the spirit of God, and walk in that, and God has made a way for everything that you need in your life.
Amen.
Everything in your life, and for even for your ministry, for your family, for your businesses, whatever it is, it makes no difference. God has made a way for you, but you have to trust him. You have to release your willingness of what you know of the world and grab a hold of what God has for you in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is right here in our hands. It's in our grip. It is in our grasp. All we have to do is open up our hands and we can see it. And we can receive it.
We can receive it. Amen.
It's not somewhere on the other side of the galaxy, on the other side of the darkness. It's not something that we're going to see someday when we go to glory. because God sat there and sent the Holy Spirit, and he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent everything, the kingdom of heaven, the keys to heaven and hell, the keys to prosperity, the keys to poverty. He sent us and gave us everything. Everything that he took from the devil, he gave to us. He says, now, you work with it. What key are you going to use? You're going to use the key to live, or you're going to use the keys to die? Are you going to use the key to unlock yourself from the stuff that has been binding you and holding you captive? Are you going to take the other key and unlock those locks and walk out of that and be a free man? Walk out of those shackles. I command you in the name of Jesus to walk out of those shackles.
Walk out of those shackles. Praise God.
Grab a hold of yourself. Grab a hold of the hand of the Lord and start walking with him. Be free. Be free tonight. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Well, tonight you've heard, what God has through his servant, and we say to you tonight, nobody can do it like God can indeed. Please remember, we love you. We thank God for you. That out there that he was calling, if you want prayer, give a call. We'll wait a few minutes before we go off the line. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. We just want to pray around the world. We want to pray for America. We want to pray mostly for Israel. We want to pray that God's will be done in Israel. We want to pray that God's hand be done in America. Pray that God's hand be done in America. Pray that our president, our congressmen, our Supreme Court, our governors, mayors, and elected officials will all come to understand and know that God has already prepared a way. They have to give it up. Walk out of those shadows. Walk out of those shadows and come into the light. Come into the light, for God will reveal. God will reveal his will unto you. I want to thank God for those on the program tonight. And more, I just want to say hallelujah. Until the next time. Remember my word. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So God bless you until the next time, okay?
God bless.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.